Block okay, non-deliverance,
and we are back up. Okay, Chaplain Durden, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, brothers and sisters, if I'm not in the room for people who are not never been in here before, the devil do attacks. He's called Satan, and there's bouncy demons, electrical spirits, all kind of demons can stop you from getting in the room. So don't think that I have forgot or I'm not doing it. Don't let your thought process do that. Just pray. Everybody just pray, because if I'm not in, I already know there's a problem and I can't get in. So just pray, be patient, and it'll be okay. Dr. Lilmo Lipkins Church, good evening at Sundial Baptist Church. Reverend Dr. R.D. Kelton at Beaverton Baptist Church in Harville, Mississippi says good evening. And we're going to turn this thing over now. Chaplain Durden, you got 1 hour and 51 minutes. Or less, it's up to you, without any uninterrupted teachings. We're going to get back to where he was last time. We had people that come in and out of the room, and there were some technical issues, and we just got knocked off. But we're going to bind, voice it, bounce up, and we're going to go in faith and get this done. Without any further ado, Chaplain John Durden, there'll be no questions and answers. He have up to 1 hour and 50 minutes or less, according to his spirit of how he feel led to do this by the Lord. Chaplain Jordan Durden, you got the mic.
Okay, thank you so much. Good evening, everybody. Again, this is Chaplain John Durden. Pleased that you are listening tonight. My session for the night is going to be on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. And before I do, let me go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, pray that you would anoint me with revelation, knowledge, and wisdom, as well as understanding. And I pray, Holy Spirit, will empower me to teach your word in clarity, simplicity, and boldness. May our minds be alert and clear, and our hearts become receptive. And Father God, I pray that the Spirit of truth, that is the Holy Spirit, move in such power that every stronghold of unbelief and discord and vain thought be pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, my Redeemer. And I pray that your words bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to all here in your presence this evening. It is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth I pray. Amen and amen and amen. I guess for some of you who don't know me, I'll give you a little info about myself. First of all, I have a master's degree. I had three. The first one I got was in human resources, where I hired federal employees for 30 years with the federal government, from the executive position, from making $40,000 up to $100,000 a year. And when I got on with the government there in the personnel office, I was the first black. That was back in 1970. He had 300 people working that office, and no whites in that office whatsoever. So I caught kind of hell the first 6 months, because half of them regretted that I was there. They walked by, I wouldn't speak or anything like that. But finally, I won them over. So with that said, that was my employment and my degrees. With respect to my salvation, right quick, I didn't come to know the Lord until I was 30. And praise God, I did. God sent a soldier in there who was a colonel, and he walked in there, and I used to recruit all his people for him. Whenever he had a vacancy, he'd walk in there and say, I'm not here on military business. I'm here to talk to you personally, John. And he, to make a long story short, he led me to the Lord. I thought because I was a deacon in the church at the time and sang in the men's choir at the time, I thought I had it going. And come to find out, joining the church don't make anybody a Christian. You're a member of the church. And then I realized that I had to do three things. I had to recognize Jesus as the Son of God. The second thing, I had to recognize, I had to tell him that I was sorry for all those sins that I committed. And the third thing I had to do was ask him to come into my heart, receive him as my Lord and Savior, and that way I'll be born again. So I did that, and make a long story short. And then I did that Friday evening. When I woke up that Saturday morning, after I got home, I was not the same John that went to bed that night. My whole outlook was different. I just praise, give God the glory. So you got a little short thing on my education and my salvation and my employment. I want to say we must have the Holy Spirit operating in our lives, and we all know that because we all are ministers and of God. And in order for us to properly and accurately and precisely to know the nature and the ways and the voice of God, we have to have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. In order to speak for God, we must what? Immerse in the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we speak preaching and from our text in our Bible, but we got to have a relationship, because sometimes while we're speaking, the Holy Spirit will give you thoughts. Because I always pray, I say, let my thoughts be your thoughts. Let your thoughts be my thoughts. That's what I tell my Lord. I have a lot of thoughts when I be teaching and preaching, and I pray that whatever you want me to say, you put those thoughts into my mind. Because I say, I know you do it sometimes, because sometimes I say something, go, where in the world did that come from? And that was hard to pick up, because sometimes I didn't recognize it was the Holy Spirit inspiring me to say some of the things I said. And I can tell when the Holy Spirit, because when I repeat what the Holy Spirit said, and I'm thinking it's me, and when the session is over, Brother John, that was really good when I was in church, when I was preaching and stuff like that. I really enjoyed preaching, man. And I go, huh? You know, and I go, oh, my God. I didn't give recognition to the Holy Spirit. So I go back, thank you, Holy Spirit. I didn't know that was you. And so we have to learn to recognize when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. And guess what? The Holy Spirit possesses a speaking nature in communication through us as believers. He comes through us because he may want to speak to the congregation, or he may want to speak to the spouse. He may want to speak to the children through you. And he know what their problems is, and sometimes when they come to talk to you, they may try to not give you everything. And so God, the Holy Spirit, will reveal what they really want to say to you, but they didn't want to get hurt. So they kind of skip and slide and just baby the problem that they may be having. With a personal relationship with the Lord and the Holy Spirit, say, the problem is this. And the Holy Spirit tells you exactly. And moreover, I want to say that the Holy Spirit is the most important person to aid us. Because Jesus prayed, say, I'm going, and I'm going to pray that one just like me would come and take my place. And he would be at your side, be in your spirit, the Holy Spirit. He said, the Holy Spirit going to help us with our walk and our journey, our calling, our ministry, as well as our life. And I'm praying that sometimes I say, Lord, I hope I can really get to hear the Holy Spirit. You know, I never thought about that. All I did was just study, and stay up 2 and 3 in the morning trying to read before the text the next morning, before I was supposed to preach or teach, whichever it was. And I had friends of mine who really loved the Lord, walking close to the Lord, and said, John, I haven't wrote a sermon in a whole year. So what are you talking about? He said, even Wednesday night Bible study, I read and prepare according to what the Holy Spirit leads me. I go, the what? You know, the Holy Spirit. And so I inquired about it. Then I started reading books on the Holy Spirit, everything like that. And then I prayed to God about it. And then I started getting closer and closer and closer. So I come to know by a personal relationship with the Lord, which I didn't know. I thought just because I go to church and read the Bible and tithe and all that, I had it made, you know, singing the choir. But I didn't have a personal relationship with him. And then I finally realized how stupid I was. And I want to say, most of all, we must understand that the Holy Spirit is the third. We all know it is. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, equal with the Father as well as with the Son in essence, but not in functionality. Everybody got their different functions. Okay? And one of the major aspects of God's nature is that he is a person. I'm going to get that point over this evening. The Holy Spirit is not an it. I've seen a whole lot of jokers, pastors, deacons, all the time. Oh, there ain't no three people. You know, the Holy Spirit's it. And the Holy Spirit, it did this. I said, no, you're reading wrong. It's he. So I had to convince that. But it's not, Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a he. And we must recognize another thing and know that the Holy Spirit is a person who actually, what? Live, died from the dead, talking about Jesus now, and ascended to sit on the right hand of the Father. And when he got there, he sent the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And he sent the Holy Spirit, who is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person because what? He demonstrates a personality, and I'm going to get into that. He's a Holy Spirit, a person who demonstrates a personality, and he demonstrates a personality because what? He is a person. And so I want to say I came up with some interesting list of things that the Holy Spirit does that only what a person can do. I got Boy, I mean, I was reading all day yesterday and today, and added on some more stuff tonight, and it talked about everything he was doing. It was not an it doing it. It was a person. And I want you to know that I have prepared scriptures that support it. Like, for an example, let's get into the scripture. John 14, chapter, verse 15. Now, John chapter 14, verse 15. I'll start with 16. It reads as follows. And you know, the subtitle over this scripture says, the role of the Spirit. The role of the Spirit. Verse 16 reads, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. In verse 17 says, that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. Then I turn to John, the 16th chapter, verses 7 and 8. 16, 7, 8. And verse 7 reads as follows. And 8. But I tell you the truth. This is Jesus talking. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And then verse 8 reads as follows. And he, when he comes, talking about the Holy Spirit, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because what? They do not believe in Jesus. And Jesus said, they didn't believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you. He will teach you all truth. For he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. And Jesus also said that in verse 14, he says, and the Holy Spirit will glorify me. For he loves me. Amen. And he will disclose things to me. I think I had another. Romans 8:16. Let me go to Romans 8:16. Holy Spirit, give me some good ones. Well, I got one in Acts, so I don't want to pass Acts to get to Romans. I'll just go ahead and hit Acts where I got it. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. He says, the word says, while they were ministering, talking about Paul, Barnabas, and Simeon and stuff, in the place called Niger. He said, the verse says, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Show you that he doesn't hate him, assignments and everything for believers. So I want to go now to Romans 8:16. All right, let me go to Romans. Romans 8:16 says this. The Spirit himself testifies that our spirit, that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. And I had to go back up two more scriptures. It says this in verse 14. It says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Well, like I say, these are the children of God. Oh, because you know you got women, so I want to say children instead of sons of God. I want to say, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. For the Spirit himself, himself, not itself, testifies that our spirit, that we are children of God. I think that was the, yeah, oh, yeah, okay. Thank you, Lord. Go to the last one. That's 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. It says, 12th chapter, verses, there we go. That's talking about the spiritual gift, which have not deceased or gone away. We still have it. I've been around a long time. I just turned 80 years old a couple of months ago, and I reckon I've been in many, many churches. And I've seen churches where the pastor believes in the full gospel of the Bible. Some talk about, well, I accept this. In other words, I don't accept this. Like, excuse me, man, you going to tell the Holy Spirit what you accept and what you don't accept and what you believe and what you don't believe? So my God. And I had problems with that for a long time until finally I ran into a pastor who really was a – God led me to this man. He ran a full gospel church. He had about like 1,200 members. And that man knew that word inside out. He almost could quote that Bible inside. He'd been knowing the Lord ever since he'd been 9 years old. And this man was like 52. And that dude knew that Bible, and you can tell he loved the Lord. And I said, because what I did when I was going to my church, I would go on Monday, and no, on Sunday, the first Sunday, because I was a deacon, you know, something like that. And sometimes then I became a pastor. I was an assistant pastor on Sunday. But on the second, on first Sunday, and when the second Sunday come, I'll play hooky. You know, oh, I feel so good. And I go third Sunday, but on that second Sunday, I always go to a different church. And then I look in the paper, and I saw when the churches had different studies on Wednesdays, and some had them on Thursdays. And I checked out the ones that I thought had been led by the Holy Spirit, and those ministers are powerful. I see people coming there crippled on a wheelchair, and I say, come on up here, brother. There are people came in there with sick that nobody even knew visiting and everything. And the Lord would tell, the Holy Spirit would tell that minister, say, there's someone here who came here for healing, for prayer. And he would say, sister, so and so and so. And she started screaming, oh, pray that man would hear me. She'd come up there, and her husband or her child or whoever would roll her up there, and she'd limp and everything else. And she'd come with the medical report to show that she ain't lying and that she and the pastor got a thing going to make him look good. Show us the medical report. And he said, the Lord called you up because she just prayed. But the Lord told him there was a woman in there with that certain name. You call her up, he say, everybody, stand up. We're going to pray for this lady. They're all going to heal. Everybody say, golly, man, he sure take it. He put, you know, that's a lot of nerves. He can mess up. And everybody say, man, this guy's just a crook. But everybody stood up, held hands, and the lady was healed. She was in crutches. So she, I mean, God healed her. There was another case where a lady had a lump on her breast, and she was crying. Her children brought her and said, we don't want a mama to die. And they said, pastor, no, they brought her there. And they were sitting in the back because they had to minister to her. And the pastor, the Holy Spirit, gave him knowledge that there was a woman there who needed prayer for having breast cancer. She had a lump on her chest. So he, after he got through, he said, before we close, I need to pray for somebody. The Holy Spirit just told me that the lady here got cancer in the breast and got a lump. Whoever that is, would you please come up? Lord, the girl started screaming. The family started screaming. Man, he ran all up front there. And then he had one of his assistants, female assistant to help him to lay hands on a woman's breast, and she felt the lump, you know. He said, now, lady, I'm going to pray for you. So everybody held hands, prayed for the lady, and then he asked somebody else to come up and touch her breast to see if she, that same lady, to see if she had that a lump on her breast, and it was gone. It was gone. And then she went back to the doctor and came back the next Sunday with a report, praise report, that the lump was gone. So it's still in. It's still in practice, folks. One thing I can't stand when somebody says, we have this written word. I said, yeah, and I want to say, well, why don't you do it? We have this written word. Why don't you do it? The Bible says heal. The Bible says tongues hasn't ceased. Yeah, but haven't you heard tongues have ceased? You know, kind of a thing. It doesn't say have. It says tongues will. Will is future tense. And the devil is slick because you got you got three things. You got you have the gift of what's that? Revelation knowledge you have. Let me turn that right quick because this is too important. I don't want to mess that up. First Corinthians, the 13th chapter. That's just one page over. First page, 13, and then verse 8 says, and God appointed the church first apostles. Nope, I don't want that one. I'm going to go down to 12, 13. Here we go. For one is given the word of wisdom, another the spirit, and another the word of knowledge. Okay? And then dig this. It says, what it says is that he said that the gifts will. It didn't say has, and they keep misquoting it. No. And that's inappropriate. Lord have mercy. It says, all right, there you go. I'm going to read it to you. Verse 8 says, love never fails. If there are a gift of prophecy, now three things he named, but the devil just pick on tongues. He says, but there are gifts of prophecy, and then they will be done away. And if there are tongues, they will cease. And if they acknowledge, it will be done away too. But the devil got everybody focusing on tongues. The scriptures say prophecy, tongues, and knowledge will have ceased. But knowledge hasn't ceased. We look at all what we learned since the first century. That's just a trick. It says will, folks. And some versions, New King James Version, say tongues shall. I look up shall and I look up will, my English books and everything else. Even went to the library, got my computer. And has and will is specifically referred to the future. You know, that's called my English teacher. This is what the heck of it. She said, hey, John, I haven't spoken to you since you were a teenager. You know, kind of thing. And she said, that's future tense. She said, look at the verse. Look at the next verse. And it said, that which is perfect comes in, that's when it ceases. Because what? We won't need tongues anymore. We need tongues now because sometime a pastor may shortchange the congregation, won't have anything to say. And so God would have that full gospel pastor to get up and go, and he'd be going. And then all of a sudden, the pastor said, well, I don't understand. I heard it. I didn't know, but I hear somebody in church might get up and say something to them. And then somebody else might get up and give an interpretation, you know, kind of a thing. But I just want to leave that alone. So the Holy Spirit is a person because what? He demonstrates a personality. He demonstrates a personality because what? He is a person. He says another thing. He gives us gifts. I came up with some interesting list of things that the Holy Spirit does, y'all, that only a person, not an it, can do. But before I do, I will refer to, now I want to skip that. I don't need to share any more scriptures. I'm going to tell you the gifts that he gave us. Y'all know it. It's, you know, in the 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter kind of thing. First, it's 9 gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. And those gifts are primarily for every believer, male, female, woman, a child, because we represent God and the Holy Spirit. And when I say God, that's three of them. God the Father, God the Son, that's the Holy Spirit. And we don't suppose to just, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, that's fine. But God says, look at him. I want them to believe what you say. And a lot of those folks you're teaching to are possessed by demons. And some of them are hardcore unbelievers. Some just say, well, let me go see what this man got to say. I don't believe in this junk, you know, and that kind of stuff. Well, how God did the minister in the first century, what? He had the Holy Spirit, the minister, and gave those apostles the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the devil is a liar talking about, we got his written word. That's dead now. We don't do that now. That's a lie out of the pits of hell. It pisses me off because for me, the way I was raised, all I heard from the time I was knee-high to the turtle dove till I was 30, that we have his written word. And so all I was hearing just based up, Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tell me so. All that kind of stuff. You know, it's fine, but I never been taught from the time I was 12 to the time I was 40 about the Spirit want to minister. That's it. God, that's how God proved God's want to let everybody know that he's still alive, I'm talking about Jesus, and that he still loves us, and to make, and to help and assist his ministers. Because people, I don't believe in this. Oh man, he out there to make his money and everything else. Oh man, oh he in church on Sunday, come praise the Lord, and out on other days he out there hoeing around and doing all the things, hustling people. Oh, he ain't no real thing. You're not in this religion, and God, Jesus can see all the way down to the future. And so what happened? In the churches where I'm going to, I know here in Atlanta who got the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I know because I've been in each one. And I say, Holy Spirit, which one should I go to? You know, because that's what I say. You know what? I got down on my knees and said, Lord, for all my life, in 20 years I was in my Methodist church I raised in, and for 15 years I've been in the Baptist church because my wife was Baptist. When I moved here, I married a Baptist woman, so I was there. I started off as a deacon. And then I became an assistant pastor, you know. And I said, I don't know what to believe. So I went to my, went down to Savannah, Georgia, to my Methodist pastor, who was a doctor. He teaches at some of the seminaries. And I said, you know what? Hey, you sure growing up? I haven't seen you since you were 12 years old. I said, well, look here. I said, I can't even ask you a question. Is the gifts of the Holy Spirit still wrapped? No, son. We don't teach that here. We're Methodists, and there's no such, tongues have ceased, and none of that gift. We pray for healing. I hope you pray for us, but we don't. That's why we don't lay hands on and be healed. We just embarrass ourselves. You know, we have His written word, and God will heal you when He's ready. And that's okay. And something deep down inside me says He is ignorant of the Scripture. I said, "Oh my God." I said, "Well, thank you. It was nice seeing you, John. You're really growing up to be a fine man. I've had you ever since you had you when your mother and them and all brought you when you were like 8, 9, 10, 12. See, So I came back to Atlanta. And then I said, Pastor, he's a doctor, taught at ITC. And this is my wife's church. I came in a Methodist church, and now I'm Baptist now because I was sitting in her church. And I said, Doctor, I got a question for you. I went to one Saturday morning. He said, you're a deacon. What can I do for you? I said, is tongues really? No, son. What do you pick? I said, I'm just asking. No, son. We don't preach that, but not just because we don't preach that. We don't believe that. We have this written word. I said, written word. As soon as he said that, something deep down, he said, he's an elder, my son. I said, God, don't. And so he says, we have this written word. We don't need that. You know, we know English, and we can speak, and we understand the Bible, and we just teach what the God give us. Mm-hmm. He said, so I went home, and I didn't have a peace. I said, I had both the pastors that I was sitting under. Both got 2 and 3 doctorate degrees, all this stuff. Went to the big University of Pacific. And the university, one went to Cornell University and all the big schools. And so I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. Somehow I just can't believe it. And the Lord sent me home, said, go home to your sister. I go, for what? You know, I just went down there. I said, Pat, I told my father, she said, I've been speaking in tongues for 10 years now. I said, you didn't ever tell me that. She said, because I know you didn't believe it. You finally wondering about it? I go, yeah. She said, come on, let's take you to my church. It was a full gospel church, non-denominational. And I went there, and the pastor left his house and met us at the church. And he says, I'm not going to try to convince you. Just go on down there, John, and ask him for the gift of tongues. And then I go, oh, okay. He said, oh, I got one more thing I need to say to you. If you in sin, Bubba, I'm going to tell you one thing. You ain't going to carry the Holy Spirit, and you ain't going to be able to speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit don't play. The Holy Spirit is holy, Bubba, and he's not going to come and dwell in a unclean body. You know the scripture says the body is a temple. The temple, Brother John, the temple of the Holy Spirit. You think he's going to be in your temple? You ain't got no more. You got a vile temple. If you're lying, or if you're screwing, or if you're, I don't know, smoking dope, lusty and all the other stuff they do, stealing, robbing, shoplifting, you ain't going to get no Holy Spirit, and you ain't going to be able to get none. And I said, none. There's 9 gifts, and you're going to get none of them, brother. If you have, that's one thing you'll never get. And most of them go, well, we have written word, because some of them who kind of know what you got to do, that's an excuse, so they will have to apply to those rules. He says, now you show them. I said, I'll show them. He said, so he asked me different kinds of things. I said, no, man, I ain't stupid. I don't know the Bible perfect, but I know what the Bible says. Well, if I do certain things, I'll go to hell. I said, I ain't going to hell over no stuff like that. So he said, okay, you sure? He said, okay. He said, go down there now. And you know, and my sister was sitting in the front row, told me, go, Brother John. So I went down there. It was like about 9, 10 o'clock at night. And I said, Lord Jesus, I always believe it. I have both my pastors told me they don't believe it. I went down back home to Savannah, who I sat under for 20 years, from a child to a grown man, and all I heard was rehab is written word, and tongues has ceased, kind of a thing. And then I said, and then I finally, in my adult age, started to be more inquisitive, and I asked my pastor, who got his doctorate degree, and he teach at ITC, the big theological school. Yeah, he been teaching for 30 years. So why should I rebuke what he says, you know? So I said, Lord, I don't know what to believe. And the pastor said, John, quit yakking, just asking for it. I said, okay. So I got quiet. He said, I don't hear you. I said, well, I suppose I was waiting for him to get to. He said, you got to ask him and then speak out of faith. I said, speak out? I'm going to speak in tongues when I can't speak out. He said, as soon as you start opening your mouth and step out of faith, you will find yourself not speaking English. I said, okay. I said, Father God, thank you. I couldn't step there. I said, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I praise you for tongues. I praise you for tongues. He said, Brother John, you're still doing the same thing. You need to step out of faith. And I said, okay. So I said, Lord Jesus, here I go. Holy Spirit, here I go. 1, 2, I go, wait a minute. Huh? And I opened my mouth again. I went, I said, Kelina Barasa Kala Baraso Kotiadi. No, 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 no. She Kirian de Ketapana. No, hala. Alleluia. Kade she Kirian de Ketaparo so Korean de Kala Barasima. Boy, I cried and cried and cried. I couldn't go to bed at night. I was in the house walking around and speaking in tongues and thanking him. You know, the devil don't want us to have tongues because when we speak in tongues, they ain't our mind no more. You know, like, say you want to, God want to say something to you, but you don't know. You got your sermon, and you know what? I think I can be more, and the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to give him some more stuff to say. So all of a sudden, if he believes in tongues, he starts speaking in tongues, the Holy Spirit says, speak in tongues. And he go, okay, Lord, shakaniyane kalahala parashikala ba, so koniyane shikiriyane kataparo sima, kale hakatine hikitapara, sola kali shikiriyane. And then I said, I don't know what I said. You didn't give me the gift of interpretation. And then all of a sudden, some person raised their hand and said, Pastor, when I was associate pastor, Pastor John, my mama is Pentecostal, and she goes to non-denominational church. And she got the gift, and God gave me, my mama laid hands on me, and I gave me the gift of interpretation. And can you want me to interpret for you? And I go, my God, yes, ma'am. She got up, came up in the pulpit and told her everything that I said. Not only did folks know she was telling the truth, because every time God gives somebody the interpretation, he always gets two. So one other person will get up there and be lying to him. He said this. When he was speaking tongues, he said that, and he said those and all those. But every time a person got another person said, oh, by the way, he gave me interpretation too. And the lady or the gentleman who just communicated what he said in tongues, exactly what the Lord said, that kind of a thing. Okay, so the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. Here we go. One, he gives us the gift of wisdom. And there's nine gifts. See, the Holy Spirit said, well, you know, I want the people to believe that Jesus is the Savior. He's the Messiah. If you just give them, and the Lord says, and so. Pastor, I really enjoyed the sermon. Yeah, hon, God bless you, God. But God wants the men not only to teach and preach the word, but he wants it to be manifested in there too. Everybody say, hey, man, I'm going back in. That man is real. Do you know what? A lady said, Pastor, could you pray for me? You know, just at the close. Say, what's the matter, darling? Well, I sprained my ankle, I did this, and blah. And said, come on up here, darling. And he has the gift of faith. See, there's two kinds of faith. The gift of faith is when you have want to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But the other faith comes, you believe God for healing, not 20 years from now or someday he will. We'll pray. He said, he'll heal you now. But they come few and far between. You got a lot of me, especially me too. Well, I'll pray for you, darling. I go, Lord, okay, you know. And then finally, kind of leave that alone, you know, because I'm still building my faith on that category. Because like I said, that flesh jump and go, you lay hands on that woman and nothing happened. You're going to look like a fool. That's one barrier I hate to confess that I'm still dealing on. But those who have that kind of faith, it happens every time. It happens. I work in a hospital and seen it happen. But God give us wisdom. Well, let me say, when I say God, let me specify. The Holy Spirit give us. Now, these are in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, all those gifts. Talk about he gives us wisdom. When I say he gives us wisdom, he gives us the ability to give wise advice, okay, to specific situations. Your member might come up to you and go, Pastor, I don't know what to do about this. A pastor, my wife is doing this. My children just keep doing this, and I don't know what to do. And what do you think I should do? And then the Holy Spirit tell her this. And see, thoughts are coming to his head or his brain or wherever. And he said, honey, we said, well, let's pray about it. And tell him, Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, ask that you give me wisdom to counsel this person. And Holy Spirit, I know you're my helper. Jesus says you're my helper, and he's back up there interceding for me, but you sent the Holy Spirit as our counselor. So, Holy Spirit, I'm speaking to you personally. Jesus himself says you're my counselor. Would you please tell me what I can tell this woman? I don't want to tell her just a bunch of religious junk. And the Holy Spirit, her problem is so. And I said, honey, your problem is, how do you know that? The Holy Spirit told me, for real? You sure? I say, you have two kids. One is 12 years old, one is 14, one is this age. I mean, one is this name and the other name and so. How do you know that? I told you, honey. The Holy Spirit just told me. I'm not sitting up there lying. You talking about blah, 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 blah. I ain't going to lie on the Lord. And I'm not going to tell you what my flesh thinks. If I don't know, I say, let's pray about it. And if the Lord don't give me the thing right then, I say, I'll pray for it, dear, okay? But God wants us to use those gifts. Because if it's a man, my pastor's a man, a God child. Look, he prayed, whatever. He did it. And then, you know, like 2 days later, when I woke up, that pain was gone. Then, you know, a week later, this happened. And praise the Lord. So the Holy Spirit give us wisdom so that we'll know how to give good advice to specific situations and problems when our condition come to us. Then the Holy Spirit give us the gift of knowledge. And the gift of knowledge is, that's about, you know, if somebody may come in your past and want to talk to you, guess, but let me make it short. The gift of knowledge was the Holy Spirit would tell that pastor in his mind the circumstances. I'm talking about people, whether this person for real or full of junk, or rather what circumstances are facing you. Come, well, we got a problem, pastor. And the Holy Spirit say, well, yeah, a little one, but it is so and so and so and so on. So there's three things. He gives you the gift of knowledge. So with the gift of knowledge, you learn, you know about people, especially when they come up to you and try to jive you. Pastor, I live right around the corner. I ain't got no money. And I'll be starving and so on and so on and so on. Don't worry about it, honey. So you go get some money out the treasury, whatever, and get the person maybe $100, $200 so you can feed his family. And you just a hustler, wanted some money to buy some liquor. Because, you know, I was helping you. And, you know, I used to, every time, sometimes I'd be driving by, I see, man, I'm going, sir, do you have a quarter? I said, yes, sir, quarter ain't going to get you nowhere. Here, here's $5. Thank you, sir. And then something say, and I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit. The guy said, follow, see where you go. Thank you. That dude went around the corner, and I followed him around the corner. That dude went right into the liquor store and came up with a bag of bottles of liquor. I said, Lord, have mercy. I wish I had a relationship with the Lord. That would save me $5. Because most of them on the corner begging for money. You got some change? Yeah, they want some change to get some liquor. Something else. Okay? He give us the gift of wisdom. That means he know how to talk. Whoever come in your face and your church, I need to talk to you. I don't know what to do about this. So the Holy Spirit said, tell them this. This will solve their problem. They give you the ability to give wise advice about specific situations. Then he'll give another person the gift of knowledge. The gift of knowledge is that when people come to you, the Holy Spirit will tell you about that person, especially if it's a gift, or somebody knocking on your door, you know, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, begging for money or whatever. Or some woman, some man coming in, sir, I'm new in town, and I got this problem now, you know, and the Holy Spirit say, he's jabbing you. I'm telling you, he's not real. And the circumstances is this. He's a gambler. He's a liquor head. He wants some more money. Or somebody tell me, well, you know, the Bible says tongue has ceased. And, you know, I heard that 20 years when I was Methodist and 15 years when I was in founding. God said, come here, boy, and send me to my sister church. It was non-denomination. I went there and said, I'm not going to argue or debate with you. Tell me tongue has, put your butt down there, sir, and pray. He said, but first of all, you ain't going to get it. You ain't going to get nothing if you're in sin. That's one thing you ain't going to get. You, the Holy Spirit is not going to dwell in unholy vessel. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is the temple of the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says holy. It didn't say unholy. Well, what make you? And a lot of guys will know. A lot of guys out there sitting everything else. And God said, go talk to him. Tell him. He told, yeah, praise the Lord, man. I've got the Holy Spirit. And I said, sir, do you know what? He said, well, I said, you're lying. He said, what do you mean? I know I got the Spirit. I'm a Christian. I said, well, I don't know what kind you are. But the Lord says, the Bible says, the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your temple is not holy, so I don't know what you're doing. So I don't want you walking around here thinking you still got the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit been gone, Bubba. Have a good day and walk away. Sometimes the Holy Spirit have you do things you want to do. And that's what makes it so hard when you're here, because sometimes the majority of things you want to do, you're scared to do it because you think the person will kick your butt or you get fired, whatever. Okay? I got seven more. I said gift of wisdom, ability to give wise advice to your members, your family members, whatever, concerning a specific knowledge. Knowledge, that's when God will let you know about people. When you get taught, hey, good morning, Pastor. There you are. She's just pulling your leg, you know? Not real. He tell you about people. He give you knowledge about circumstances, what's going on in the church, or what's going on in your own immediate family. Other family members tell you what's going on, how you can resolve that problem, give you knowledge about the situation. How are you going to resolve a problem if you don't know what the true circumstances? And then the Holy Spirit will give you knowledge about the Bible, because what? He inspired the writers to write that. The Holy Spirit did. And the Spirit said, when they say, tongue says, he said, that's a lie, my son. He said, go home. Told me where to go. because when I went home, I went to my Baptist church home, and the man told me, "Oh, that went out with the apostles and so on like that." Then I come back home to my other doctor, my Baptist. "Well, you know, we Baptists, we don't teach that. You know, we have this in good. No, we don't need that. Now we got the Bible. We want to know what God got to say. We can read the Bible." And the Lord said, the Holy Spirit said, "That's a lie." And I said, "Sir, I'm talking to my backpack. He's been teaching at ITC, the school here, for 30 years. I said, "Sir, the Lord told me that you're in error." "What do you mean? You look at here, son. You know, I can fire you. You're my assistant. You don't talk to me like that." I said, "I just want to tell you the truth, sir." I said, "I can care less. If there's more interesting than this one." He told me, he got me out of bed, told me to come here. "This is Saturday morning. I ain't got no business here in your office. I'm doing what he told me to do." He said, "What he told you to do?" He told me that you're in error. He told me that you're in error, especially about the salvation thing. "You don't even know what salvation is." "What do you mean?" I said, "I've been sitting under you for 17, 18, 15, 16, 17 years. And every time you get through the sermon, say, if you want to be saved, come on up and join the church. Come on up. Join the church. Join the church." And then one day the Lord said, "He ain't joining no church." You know, say, what he's doing is they join the church. But that's it. They ain't saved. They're just a member of the church. And then God, the Holy Spirit, led me to the scripture because, you know, I was taking what the pastor was saying all those years. And so, I mean, now don't get me wrong. I'm not saying all pastors. There's some holy, righteous pastors that I come to know. You know, when I got to be saved, man, I started looking, reading. You got the bad, the good, and every, just like these cops going around killing all these blacks and everything. You got your good cops and you got your bad cops. Then you got your bad theologians, and you got your holy righteous. I can name 30, 40 righteous ministers right here in this town that can tell you. And they got Baptist churches and speaking in tongues. They got half the congregation, I'm telling you, you know, kind of a thing. But I'm not trying to sell it. I'm just telling you what is true, okay? Because I'm tired of dealing. I've been 20 years as a Baptist man, a Baptist dude, and a Methodist. All them years, tongue has ceased. Healing has ceased. We don't have none of that to do, you know. So, let me go on. All right, now you got the third gift. One's called faith. That's that when a person believes in God, not just a faith to be saved, but God can do all things. He still do things he did in the first century. Should God have faith? That means God and the Holy Spirit will enable Christians to believe God for miracles. Come here, honey. Let me pray for you. Okay, man, can you hear the woman say she got the problem? You ain't going to get prepared. So you take your unbelief someplace else, sir. She said, come here, honey. The Lord told me to pray for you that you got so-and-so. So. How did you know that? The Holy Spirit just told me. So if the Holy Spirit told me, you must be going to be, you're going to be healed. Praise the Lord. You sure nobody told you about me, Pastor? I'm telling you. And he prayed, and then the girl is healed. And I have a sprained ankle when she's walking down there, hip hopping. And then he said, okay, honey. Let's see you. Well, she, you sure? No, I don't want to be screaming. She said, but let's go down slow. She get out of the chair and walk, and then she run down the aisle, kind of a thing, okay? Run down the aisle. Okay. So faith is a person who believes God, who really, really believes, don't doubt it. Oh, and then you know why you doubt it? You know, thank you, Holy Spirit, just told me this. Because that was one of my problems. I always thought that just because I'm thinking it, that's me. I go, oh, no, that's not right. That's a lie. Tongue see, no, that's a lie. Man, who would ever believe? That man is stupid. That's not you, folks. You know, you get three thoughts that come into your mind. I bought, that was like somebody gave me $1 million. Just because you're thinking it, tomorrow, you don't know what you're talking about. No, that's not true. So stupid, dude. Tongue has seats. So we teach this. Sometimes they call us after and say, you don't know what you're talking about. Tongue has seats. You know, I say, uh-huh. You don't know it. And then I get mad and I say, you demon, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of that man. He's talking about, say, come out in the name of Jesus. Lord have mercy. Faith, enable a Christian to believe God for miracles. All right. Then next one, like I said, I jump on too quick. The Holy Spirit give a person maybe the gift of healing. And that's restoring someone to physical, you know, their physical health, okay, by supernatural means. Would you pray for me, Pastor? And this pastor said, yeah, honey, that's what I'm here for. Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare you healed, honey. And if you don't, if it don't showcase manifest right now, it will in a couple of days, honey. You get healed. God timing is right. This is because I say immediate. It may not happen immediately. It may happen tomorrow or 2 days later. You wake up and say, oh, my God, I'm healed, okay? You got to believe it. Because I lay hands on you and you're not healed instantly. That don't mean you ain't healed. God can be testing your little family. to see if you had the faith to believe that pastor. Okay? All right. So healing, faith coming out. Like I said, there's two kinds of faith. Then the next one is called miraculous powers. That's when the Holy Spirit gives the person ability to alter the curse of nature. You know, kind of thing. Sometimes that person, like for an example, my sister who's been walking with the Lord ever since she's been 14 years old, and she caught pure hell all from the time she was 14 to the time she moved out of the house because we were all Methodists. And she and God touched her one day when she was home and said, "Honey, you're in the wrong place because the man don't believe in none of the gifts. All he just talk about Jesus is Lord. Amen. God bless. You know, nothing serious, nothing that. But now, don't get me wrong. I know Methodists who are Pentecostal types in their church, and they got scared. They come to them, John, I believe, but I don't want to lose my members. You know, okay? I said, well, don't you, if I can't afford to lose my job. I get three kids. And I said, well, don't you move. Just teach what they want to hear. And then you pray to God since you done, because you had a friend who spoke in tongues and he took you to church and you got blessed. He said, well, don't you jump out there, leave. I said, you talk to the Lord. If the Lord gave it to you, that means he got something in mind for you. Maybe he wants you to establish a church yourself and establish a congregation that really believed that the Holy Spirit and Jesus had not changed. He said, I am the same today, yesterday and tomorrow, he's the same. And he wants us to use those gifts because that's what bring them people in there. Don't you know if you believe it and you got them people in there, you're giving them the gifts of the Spirit and stuff like that. Man, okay, this pastor real. Man, he laid hand on me and I was healed. He laid hand on me and do you know before I went to church the next Sunday, I was healed. Sure enough. And do you know the Lord warned me and says, I hate to say this. You got to tell folks. I hate to tell my child at 16 ran away from home because she didn't like the way I was talking to Bob and everything too and everything. She just ran away. I hadn't seen my child in 2 years. Well, guess what? The pastor told me, you all heard it last Sunday. He said, honey, I know you don't want me to say this, but I'm going to say it in public. Your daughter is runaway. She's been gone for a year, and she's only 16 years old. So the Lord told me, guess what, honey? The only reason I told you that and told you that out loud because the Lord told me something else was that. He says, when you get home tonight, you'll get a long distance call. Your daughter will be crying and says she want to come home. Are you serious? Don't play with me now. Don't play with my daughter now. I don't play that now. Let me play Holy Lord. He said, ma'am, just receive it. Okay. Man, shoot. That when she got home, man, she called the pastor. She called all her friends who number she had. Said, my daughter just called and said she want to come home. And so I sent her the money to fly home. And then that next Sunday, she and her daughter walked in the church and the whole members sit up and applauded. See, it's still relevant. Don't let nobody lie to you. That's the devil. Because you know what, when you have those gifts, you inspire those people. My pastor's a man of God. He cared God. He said this, and guess what? It happened. And if it didn't happen right then, I know I'm supposed to keep on trusting. I'm supposed to see there. You don't know what the heck he's talking about. He didn't say yesterday. He says you will be healed. Because sometimes it may take 2 or 3 days, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, but that person is healed. Okay? So, healing. Then God gives some of the miraculous powers. Very few get that gift, but he gives it to who else. He know who to give it to. He said, that's the ability to cause change something that's unbelievable. Like I said, my sister fell in love with the Lord. And the Holy Spirit pulled her out at 14 years old. She went, and everybody said, honey, I thought you went to church. Because the church is about like several blocks up the street. What she did was she went past the Methodist church and went into a Pentecostal church. And because when she went to go, she heard a voice, you don't belong here, my dear. Go another block or so. She knows she heard God. So she said, okay. She went down to people's, was ministering to her, tell her what her name was when she's down, told her my name. And everything else in your mom and how you know that? So the Holy Spirit told me the Holy Spirit works in this church out. And that girl, boy, she played hooky and going to church now. And boy, the whole family, from the 8 aunts she had and the 8 uncles she had, and grandma and great grandma, man, they blame gangs. She caught pure hell from the time she was 16 to the time she was 20 something when she left home. She caught pure hell. How could you dare leave this Methodist church? And nothing like being a mess. And you go to that Holy Ghost church where they hang on chandeliers and cut the food and be singing and dancing and jumping and stuff like that. We don't do that stuff here. We uppity in our church. We don't be shouting and screaming. You know, that's ignorance. and she caught pure hell. I cried for my sister. But from the time she was 16 to the time she finished school and went away. Caught hell. And you know what? I was on the thing, too. I said, Pat, how you get stupid? We can do better than that. We don't speak no tongues. All you do is be babbling, that's all. Ain't no such thing in no tongues. You create, ain't no such thing as healing up us today. Ain't no such thing as this and that. Man, I helped rebuke myself. And you know what? When God finally caught up with me, when I finally realized I was wrong, and I went in the Lord's closet, I'm glad you recognize that God told me who to go to so I can be a minister. And then that's when I got to get the tongues and all that. And then you know the first thing that God said after I was able to speak in tongues and start believing the gifts of the Lord? He said, now go back home and tell your sister you're sorry. Mind you, I rebuked my sister from the time she was 16 to the time I left home at the age of 22. She caught hell, this much hell for me. I wouldn't eat breakfast with her. When we go out on picnics and stuff like that, we wouldn't take her with us because she right there talking about, I'm spirit-filled. I can speak in tongues and I can give prophecy and stuff like that. Girl, go crazy. And so she had to eat breakfast by herself. She ate dinner by herself and all this. And pull a child. We go to family picnic. My mama and daddy, grandma, they're all leaving right in the house by herself. They wouldn't even take the child. Boy. And you know what? I jumped the bad way because I thought she'd have lost her second mind. You girl, you crazy. You ain't no sister mad no more right there talking about the Holy Ghost and spirit filled and all this stuff. Then when I got saved, the first thing the Lord said, John, I go, yes, Lord. He says, go back home and talk to your, what time is it? And talk to your sister. And tell her you apologize. And you will go to her church. I want you to go Saturday and stay with a friend Saturday night and go to her church. You'll be there. I go, yes, Lord. So that Sunday, man, I walked into my sister's church. It was a Pentecostal church, full gospel. I walked and sit on the back row. Then finally, I was sitting there and the preacher was teaching. He said, anybody got any testimonies? You know, I'm like, And then all of a sudden, go up there and apologize to your sister. I go, huh? I mean, he thought, I'm going crazy. Why don't I think something like that? And he says, I said, go up to the front in the congregation and call your sister up front. So I went up there, my sister turned around and go, oh, my, you been here, Brother John? I said, yeah, Ted. She said, why are you here? I said, I'll tell you in a minute. I got something to say. And I said, y'all, my sister was a Methodist all her life, and the Lord called her out and sent her to a Holy Ghost church down the street. Where they speak in tongues, the gifts are manifested in the whole nine yards. And she caught pure hell from the time she was 16 to the time she was 30. She was treated like an outcast. You know, and then I started crying, giving my testimony because I love my sister, you know. So, and I said, and I'm here because God says, sis, stand up, please. She said, yes, John. I said, honey, God said for me to repent. I said, I'm sorry that I joined the family. I gave you hell from the time I was 2 years old and you were 13. No, you were 15 and I was 17. And I jumped on the bandwagon because I thought you was an institute. You go out there talking about tongues, the gifts of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit speak to us nowadays, and the Holy Spirit can tell us what to do, what not to do, and all that stuff. We have His written word. If we want to know what God got to say or what the commandments on us we're supposed to read about, but God will speak that today. She said, God told me that was a lie. And she said, would you forgive? And then the whole congregation, they got quiet over this. Listen to this man. I said, sister, I started crying. I said, would you please forgive me? I'm sorry that I got on that bandwagon and I treat you like hell and everything. If we go on family picnics and we go out of town, we leave you home by yourself and stuff like that. I'm so sorry, sister. And she jumped up and grabbed me. She started crying in my arms. I'm choking. Oh, I got to stop choking. So we crowded each other arms and the whole people, 1,200 of them, got up and applauded us, you know, and I said, I never thought I was going to do that. I said, would you forgive me? And the pastor looked at her and all the congregation looked at my sister. And she said, I forgive you, Brother John. And she was so happy to tell me. And then I said, and then the Lord said, now you go home and rebuke him. I said, come go home with me. She said, you show right there? I said, yeah, come on. So we knew they were down there at the St. James AME Church and they all back home cooking dinner around the table. We walk in the door. Well, look who got in town. And then I says, shut up. I got something to say to you guys. He just said to us, I said, y'all heard me, shut up. I said, I'm just like my sister now. What do you mean you like your sister? I said, I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe tongues. I believe all the other gifts, healing, miracles, and all that still happen. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through wisdom and knowledge. and I believe in faith, that you can lay hands on somebody and they can be healed. I say, I don't believe in that junk no more. All you do, is talk about, yeah, and yes, the Lord said, no, and yes, and the whole doggone hour they sit up in church. I said, ain't learning nothing. And then there's some who teach a basic theology, but that's all they were getting, just basic theology. They weren't getting what God wants us to be so bad. He said, I can fill your church out with 40, 50,000 people. Just quit saying, tongue has healed. Step out of faith and come here, honey. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you so you can be healed. You know, come on up here. And let me tell you something. You can't jive us no more. The Lord told me you've been pulling my leg, sir. You're not doing this. You're not right. You get the money we're giving you, you're doing this. He said, come here. I'm going to whisper it in your ear. And he tell the man, how the deacon, how he's stealing money after offering all that. But he wouldn't say that out loud because he didn't want to shout the man and mess up his family. The man started crying. He was saying, yeah, I'm sorry. He said, repent. He was saying, wonder what he did. So that's not your business. The man repenting. That's all. And that guy, he reimbursed the church all that money he stole and everything else. And then there was some of the top deacons were cheating behind his back. And Holy Spirit said, deacon so-and-so is having an adultery affair, my son. Huh? I said, deacon so-and-so. He might have 4, 5, 6, 7 associate pastors. He said, associate pastor so-and-so is screwing a faggot. He meets with that faggot every Thursday night, taking money out of the kitty to pay for the hotel expenses and stuff. And he said, sir, I need to talk to you. Oh, yeah, sure, pastor. And the guy, and so he's meeting in the office after church. And the next Sunday, that guy running, crying up to the altar and everything else. So those things are still right. God, you may want to go apply for a job. The Holy Spirit said, that ain't what I got for you. I think I want to be The revelations, my scripture in Jeremiah 29 said, don't you know I have a plan for your life, plan not to calamity, a plan not to give you a problem, but to see you excel. I have a purpose and a plan for your life. Don't be going there telling me this is what you think you should be. I created you. I know what you're gifted to be, kind of thing. So that's where the Holy Spirit come in. So I gave you wisdom, one, the gift of knowledge, where you would know who trying to juke you. And they come in, I got this problem, all that stuff. So I'm saying, pastor, could you come by the house? My leg hurt. I need you to come pray with me. And so on, kind of a thing, everything else. Yeah, I remember my pastor saying, yo, guess what? The pastor slipped. One of my sister pastors go around, she's sticking the shutter. He went there. And he ran out of the house and he came back to church with him. Said, ain't nothing wrong with that chick. She was trying to seduce me. Told me, well, you know, my husband died. My husband is cheating on me and I have needs that I won't tell nobody. And I find you so attractive and everything else. He ran out of church. He said, the devil was setting you up because the minute you went in with the baby with that woman, guess what happened? What would happen? The Holy Spirit would have left you, buddy. He'd been gone. And you walk around there wondering how come you don't feel right no more and everything else. And then you still lust and want to go back again, want to go back again, want to go back, because the Holy Spirit is gone. You're not the vessel of the Holy Spirit. You're the vessel of a demonic spirit, a demonic spirit. It's a sexual one. That's why you can't stop it. That's why you keep going. I said, my God. Okay, so you got wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous, prophecy. That's when you prophesy over somebody. Don't you go there. The Lord told me if you do that, something's going to happen. Hey, tell you what. Because, honey, but guess what? You almost ready to go to work? Yes, pastor. Uh-huh. So, the Lord say, delay going for about a half hour. She said, why? Just trust me. The Lord know what's going to happen. You just delay. Said, okay. Well, she delayed half hour. She got to a certain corner intersection. She was, there was a bad wreckage. A big old 18-wheeler ran into a lady and her child because she had the right light, but the man was drunk or something and went and hit right into that lady doing 50 miles an hour, and put them both serious illnesses like that. It was on the radio and everything else. She said, my God. She said, Lord, save me. I said, yes, honey. Yes, he did. See, the guy gave that testimony in the church and showed enough. That's what happened. Then he gave it a gift of discernment. Special ability to judge whether, when it's a discernment, you got two types of ministers, you got two types of deacons, you got two types of friends, you got two types of girlfriends, two types of boys. You got some who is righteous and some who ain't. And so you need the gift of discerning of spirits. When a person walk up to you, and you got that gift, guess what? You go right off. Brother, that person out to get you, to juke you, to lie to you, to rip you off, or trying to get in the bed with you, or trying to get you to love them because for some reason they can't understand why they love you so much. You could be a good-looking man, a good-looking woman in church, and what can I do for you, so. And that woman or that man is hunting you down because they just feel like you're the right person, the right man, and God says, Daddy, I got you. I got your wife and husband someplace else, not her, not him, because they're not Christian. They just go on what they believe. I don't believe that. And some of them challenge the Bible according to what they believe, that their belief is better than Jesus' belief, okay? All right. And then you got speaking in tongues, speaking in different languages. When I got mine, I was shocked, and I was so pleased and happy. And I had to go on a trip to Puerto Rico to do something. And the Lord, my boss said, John, why don't you go to Puerto Rico? That was a personnel administration work for the federal government. My mom told you, I hired several employees for 30 long years. I had people in positions making from $40,000 to $100,000 a year. That's what I did. I have people from federal positions and all kind of federal agencies and stuff. And so Puerto Rico was one of our subordinate personnel officers. I had to go and evaluate them. So when I got off the plane and got on the bus, cab, the guy was Spanish. He said, "How you doing, brother?" I said, "Fine." But when you look at the Spanish, they look just like us. Some of them are light skinned, some are brown skinned, some are dark skinned, you know, different complexions. So that guy there, the dude thought I was, he saw me as what I was, an African-American dude. So he said, "How you doing, brother?" I said, "I'm fine, brother." And then I said, "How far?" He said, "We got a 30-minute drive." I said, "Okay, to the base." I said, "Okay." So I said, "Okay, I'm just going to see you talk to the Lord." I said, "Shikiri nekiti nimbide kasokoti alaka pasia bakatao kikishiyane." And guess what? The cab man turned around and put on base and said, "Sir, I thought you said you were African-American." I said, "I am." "Well, you speak in fluent Spanish. Well, you bilingual?" I go, "No." I said, "That's what I was speaking." He said, "Yeah." He said, "You would say, Lord, I just thank you and I praise you. Thank you for saving me, Lord. And I just thank you for saving my wife. Thank you for saving my children. John was only 7. You know, Bernadette was 7 and John was 5 years old. And you led me to call my children in the room and say, honey, son, come here. Daddy going to introduce you all to the Lord. Daddy ain't going to just wait till y'all get 13 or 14 or 15 till y'all can think for yourself. It's my job to be sure y'all know him." I said, "Come here." I said, "Sweetheart, think you got to do to get saved and go to heaven. Be a good girl, Daddy." I said, "The Bible said all unrighteous." She said, "Oh." "John, what about you? What do you think you need to go to heaven?" "Pay my tithes and help the little old lady and just be good, Daddy." I said, "No, the Bible said all unrighteous." "What are we going to do?" And then I said, "You got the 3 things. One, just tell the Lord you're sorry for your sins." I said, "Y'all know what it is. We have our Bible study every evening after dinner." "Yeah, somebody lies, steals, do all." I said, "Yeah." I said, "So first thing, ask God to forgive your sins. And then y'all young, so y'all get mad at each other, fight each other, and lie on each other. So y'all need to cut that out." Stealing candy out the cookie jar and stuff like that. And they say, "Okay." I said, "You got to ask God to forgive you. And the second thing you got to do is tell God you believe he's the Son of God." Okay, because a lot of people don't believe that. They just think he's some white man, some religious man, some lunatic or whatever, but he's the Son of God. You got to believe that. I said, "What?" I said, "The first thing, we must confess our sins and tell Jesus we believe he's the Son of God." I said, "Now here's the big one. You must receive him as Lord and Savior to be born again. You would ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you." I said, "Guess what happened?" "What happened, Daddy?" I said, "That's when the Holy Spirit come and take up residence in you, and then your body be the temple of the Holy Spirit." "Really?" I go, "Yeah, I'm talking to 5 and 7-year-old kids, but y'all." And then John go, "Daddy, I'm not stupid," because he's bright for his age, you know. "I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I ain't never asked Jesus to come into my heart. And can I go to my room and pray?" Yeah, he ran down the hall, got in his bedroom, and he closed the door, but the door came back open a little bit by itself. And so the wife and I and the sister, we stand right out in the hallway listening to him. He died on his knees 5 years old. "Lord Jesus, my daddy told me I'm on the way to hell." But he couldn't that, because I told him if he died, then he's going to be with the Lord, because he wasn't a sinner. You know, he didn't know nothing about the salvation plan. So he said, "But you know what?" He said, "I can get saved." And he said, "I got to tell you, I believe that you're the Son of God." I always believed that, because mom and dad always had me sent to. And I told you I was sorry, because I always get mad at my sister would tell her I'm sneaking the cookies out the cookie jar. Okay. But now he said, I got the agony coming to my heart. So Jesus, now this particular, now Lord Jesus, that's it. I got that coming to my heart. Be my Lord. Say, okay, Lord Jesus, right now I'm asking you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. And then all of a sudden he said, hold up, Jesus. And my wife and I go, what's this? He said, now, Jesus, you got to remember, I'm just a little boy. I'm just 5 years old. Okay? Now, you know I'm just a little boy, and I just asked you to come to my heart. So would you do me a favor? Since you're a man and I'm just a little boy, would you be real careful when you come to my heart? Because you're a big old grown man. Boy, me and my wife, Jeff, you fell out laughing. That was the funny thing. You be careful now. You come to my heart, but you got to remember. I don't know how you can do it. You're a man. I'm just a little five-year-old boy. So be careful when you come to my heart. Thank you. You just tickle. And then all of a sudden, burn it. So what's the matter, sweetheart? I don't want to go to hell by myself. I said, what do you mean? John is saved, and you saved, and Daddy and Mama saved, and I ain't saved. I'm just going to church, what y'all was telling me. But I know y'all said that if I die as a kid, I still go to be with the Lord because God don't see me as a sinner, really, because I don't know all the Bible and stuff like that. And I said, okay, darling. And she accepted the Lord herself, you know. And God said, now you teach them. You teach them yourself. Sure, you go to church, but you teach them. Okay? And I go, yes, Lord. And I taught them the Ten Commandments. And I went out there and bought them a Bible at five and bought the children a Bible at 5 and 7 years old. And what did they do? We do the books of the Bible. And after a while, we do it every morning before we go into, we just do a scripture. I don't be preaching no half hour and all that. The thing usually lasts about 15 minutes, you know. And we'll start off with reciting the books of the Bible. We start saying, okay, John, you start, John. Genesis, and then Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus. We go around till we say the whole books of the Bible. And then when they learn that, they say, I say, okay, that means the New Testament. Then when they can memorize, they can say the books of the Bible so quick with the New Testament, they can start with Revelation and go all the way back down to Genesis without any problem. Like they remember, like, the timetable. And I say, okay, now we got to learn the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and go on to Revelation. So we have our Bibles open, and we will say it every morning. And every night before we go to bed, we do the books of the Bible again. After a while, it's Daddy, we know it. And then memorize the books of the Bible, the New Testament. And then God said, now teach them the Bible characters in the commandments. I said, okay, Lord. And I'm talking from the 5 to 7, all the way up to they were 18 when they left home to go to college. I taught them the Ten Commandments and broke it down to them. And the only one I had a problem with, Daddy, what is that's not commit adultery. I said, group. Yes, I knew that was coming. So anyway, I said, well, that's when a man stays with another, stay and live with another woman for a couple of nights, something like that, and that's not his wife, and his butt should be home. Oh, okay, Daddy. They finally found the truth when, you know, the kids, when they got in the 8th and 9th grade, when the kids told them what that really was, kind of a thing. That's when a man just go and stay with another woman. And so they knew all about the prophets in the Bible. They knew Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and stuff like that. They started memorizing scriptures. And I did that from the time they were 5 or 7 to the time they were 18 years old when they left home to go to college. And they would call me every night and say, I had to go to the office, Daddy. My daughter talked. That's what that. Well, unfortunately for me, my roommate, because she was from Florida and, you know, I'm from Georgia, and she told me, you sure look good. I sure like to have sex, too. I said, Daddy, if you didn't tell me anything better, I would have probably beat her butt. And she was a lesbian. So I said, well, you know what to do. So she went to the administrative office and got another room. She said, I don't want to be no roommate, no gay, you know. And then the girls hitting on my son, and one of them, he called me. She went down the stairs and got on the phone at the down in the hall. She said, Daddy, I got a problem. I said, what's that? He said, do you know this fine girl came in my office? Now, mind you, Daddy, where am I? I said, you here at Georgia Tech? I said, right. And I said, you know what kind of students they get? I said, yeah, most everybody who got a 4.0 average, because I mean, they get number the best. And I said, you got people from California, New York, Texas, Alabama, all their sharp young ladies in their 18 years old with 3.9 degrees of hope, not degrees, average, and some of them are 4.0. I said, I heard about it, good number, the best. And he said, well, this girl, now he's, you know, we African-American, and the girl's African-American. She walked in there. He said, Daddy, this girl was fine. He said, I'm 6'2". I said, right? She said, well, she is like 5'10", and she's nice, tight height. She's beautiful complexion, pretty pecan brown, got hazel eyes, and she looks like she's about 34, 36 something, I don't know for sure, you know, 24 weeks. And she, you know what she said to me? She came down, John, I just need to help me with this problem. So we were doing a little algebra kind of problem, you know, stuff like calculus or something. And she said, you know what, I like you. She said, you know what, I'm a virgin. He said, why are you telling me? She said, I like you. I feel like I can trust you. She said, I've never been in bed with a guy. He said, why not? She said, well, first of all, it's wrong. Second of all, I don't want to get pregnant from some man. Then he told me about, look at here, chick. I ain't getting married. Just like you gave me something, you could have get somebody else could have been screwing you, you know. But I said, no, don't say that, you know. I said, somebody said, I said, what did you tell him? Because you remember what I told him would happen. And he said, well, young lady, if you had said these things to me when I was 5 years old, I probably would have accompanied you. I probably would say yes. He said, hold it. Now, I was saying that you got a 4.0 average from high school. You smart. You take and you majored in computer engineering, and you telling me this? He said, oh, I'm sorry. When I said, if you had asked me to go to bed with you when I was 5 years old, I probably would have because I was just a little young kid at the time, but I can't go now. I said, why not? She said, well, you're too late. I accept the Lord when I was 5 years old. That's why if you'd come to me and asked me to go to bed with you at 10, 12, 14, 16, I would have told you where to go because ain't no woman downstairs going to send me to hell. I said, you say that to the girl? I said, yeah, but be nice. You know, he said, I did. I didn't call no whole tramp, nothing like that. I said, I just act stupid. I said, if you'd asked me to go to bed with you when I was 5 years old, I'd probably come today because I didn't know the Lord until I was almost 6 years old. She said, you're crazy, and walked out the room. But God bless them. And they both now make getting jobs. He graduated with honors from University of Florida. He's from Georgia Tech. And now they're making good money. So he wants us to raise our kids up in that way. What else I want to say? Let me see. Hot day to Georgia. I got, let me see, 8:30 to 9:30 to 10. I got 10 more minutes. Let me see this. Talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, no matter what, is a person, right? He is a person. He acts like a person. Now, a few minutes ago, I indicated that I would like to share with some of the things the Holy Spirit does, okay? And listen at this. I mean, I have to jump from one book to the other book, one book to the other, to look to see what he does because I said he is a person. He's not a it. Now, listen to this. Number one, I got 18 things to prove that he, and this is the one word thing, it's not a paragraph for each one of them. Listen at this. Here's the things that prove that and acts like a person or what a person can do. Number one, I got, he's the person that teaches. We know he's a teacher. And I'm not going to get all the scripture because then that take up more time. I'll just tell you what he does as a person that just depicts a person. One, he's a person that teaches. Two, he's a person that testifies. He's a person that guides. Number four, he's a person that speaks. Number five, he's a person that enlightens. Number six, he's a person that strives. Number seven, he's a person that makes appropriate comments when needed. Number eight, he's a person that intercession for you when you need a problem, you're having a problem, you need some revelation, you need some healing, or whatever you do, or you need some knowledge. He is a person that intercedes. Number nine, he's a person that sent workers. You remember Barnabas and all the apostles and all when he sent them out to teach and preach and stuff like that after Jesus left. Okay? The tenth thing, he calls. He calls people into the ministry. You notice he calls some prophets, some called evangelists, some called teachers, and some called musicians, some called this. Well, he calls them. Yeah, a person calls. A thing don't call nobody to do something. A thing to say, I want you to go to this church. I'm ordaining you to the plan for the pastor, they're looking for a pastor, okay? Number 11, the Holy Spirit confronts people, okay? And sometimes when I say confront, he convicts you. You know, after you do something, go, oh, God, you shouldn't have done that, my son. You was wrong. You lied to that woman. You lied to your teacher. Or you lied to your mom. And convict you, you know, you lied to your dad, you know, kind of a thing. So he convicts you. That's what he does. Not all that, he confronts you. And he'd call you up and before you know you can't sleep because my conscience, that's the Holy Spirit working with you, my dear. All right? Number 13, he anoints. When he calls you to the ministry, he anoints you. Just about 12 more minutes. He anoints you. And then number 14, he reveals things to you because you might be duped by somebody who's full of crap, baby, I love you. and they give you money and spend clothes on you and everything else and kick you out and party you and buy rings for you and all that, all just to get to go to bed with you. And after you got what you want, you don't see the joke no more. I'm sick, y'all can't come over tonight, baby, and so on, so on, so on. And the minute you get pregnant, I know it's mine. Just like I screwed you. She, I know somebody. It might be somebody else's baby, girl. I ain't crazy. All right. So number 14, he reveals things to you. Like
I said. 5 minutes. 5 minutes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. And he bears witness. I got you. Heard you. Okay. You know he's called, 5 minutes. He's called the Spirit of Truth. Why? Because he comes only to those who worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And he will not be a counselor to you if you have to play in games with him. He's also called the Spirit Comforter, because he encourages us and he leads us to believe us. The Holy Spirit helps and strengthens us, and he intercedes for us. Now, I'm going to say the last thing. I'm going to skip a few little things and say, but I want to say this. Okay. All right. In closing, I want to say this to you. I want to help you as well as myself by sharing, I say as well as myself because I learned a whole lot digging up all this information. I want you to help you as well as myself by sharing a pattern prayer that includes the things that I had shared with you tonight. In other words, what you're doing is going to accept Christ. Now, I don't want you to speak out loud. I want you to say it in your spirit. I'm going to say a prayer and ask telling the Holy Spirit to forgive you if you offended him, and that you want to sell out to him, that you want to speak, you want a personal communion, a personal communication with him and a relationship with him just like you have with Jesus. Okay, now, I want you to say this prayer in your spirit, and then I'm going to say good night. Here we go. And that includes me, because I didn't know all this, so I did all that digging and everything else too. So here we go. Now, what I say, I want you to say it in your spirit. Lord Jesus, I'm thirsty for the fullness of your Holy Spirit. I present my body to you as a temple and as my members of instruments of righteousness. I want you to fill me with yourself. I pray and ask you to come in and flow through me. Manifest yourself in me. I really love you. And if I offended you, the Lord Jesus and Father God, I am heartily sorry. But what I'm saying to you, Holy Spirit, come and fill me as much as you want to, because I want to be what you want to be. I want to believe what you want me to believe. And I want to do things that you want me to do. And I want to be able to entertain and function with others as you want me to be. And I thank you for being a temple, let you allow my temple to be your temple, for you to dwell within me. I got about 1 million thoughts coming through me. So let me just close it this way. Use me, Holy Spirit. Manifest yourself in me. Speak to me and let your thoughts penetrate my mind so I would know it's you. And I want to know the difference, whether you speaking or my flesh is speaking or the world is speaking. Please, Lord Jesus, I'm asking in faith. I want you to manifest yourself through me. I want everything you got for me. I pray that I would fill out and fulfill all the plans that you have for my life. It is in Jesus' name I pray, in faith, amen and amen. And I thank God for it.
It'd be crazy if I just don't sleep tonight, but this deep hole I am in, I'm sure I won't tell if it's night or morning. They say life is just a dream for the wise, and so I'm trading my nightmares and my money. Something deep
I'm gonna make it.
overwhelm me. I'm believing every word that you say. Your plans are to increase and to prosper.
Chaplain John Durden to come in the room. We are having intermissions for Reverend Paulden. Good evening to you. They wanted some requests for some music. They never heard of our music here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio. So introducing some church people from different areas of the United States, some music that we have here at Live Deliverance Internet. Reverend Paulden, this is Jermaine Edwards.
Said this is Jermaine Edwards. Yeah. Listen, in all you're getting, get wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Aim for the sky, reach the mountain, keep climbing. Stop saying you can't, oh, you know you never tried it. Don't waste your energy unless you see the benefit. Negative thoughts, pessimist call. I'm an optimist rising, though sometimes I fall. I'ma keep moving even if I have to crawl. Running with a purpose, and I know I have to run far.
Principles work everywhere, anytime. Failures get life when success is denied. Why no? Every question deserve a reply. And my life is submitted to the highest of high. I got my eyes on the prize. I won't admit a lie. I'm a baby that died. There is a reason why.
I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. For by one offering, oh yes, just one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Good afternoon to you. Well, it's another day. A beautiful Tuesday. Good afternoon to you wherever you're listening from. Whoever you are. If you're listening online, gospelja.com, all my international listeners, good afternoon. If you're on our frequencies, 91.7, 91.9, blessed love to you. If you're listening from the Flow Network, channel 920, Digicel Play, channel 791, it's a beautiful day. It's a wonderful Tuesday. Tuesday, May 29, 2018. The 29th day in the fifth month in the year 2018. A beautiful day. A God day. An awesome day. A Jesus kind of day. What a day.
Thank you.
Radio, where we sponsor Jermaine Edwards, Kevin Downswell, Jermaine Edwards, Island Records out of Kingston, Jamaica. This is Apostle Limit Overton. I'm based in Atlanta, Georgia, and Mandeville, Jamaica. Live in two countries here, two citizenships. God bless. Shalom, and have a good evening.